3733. Mark and Ian are out, so the lunatics have taken over the asylum. This is Luther.
Woohoo! It's Jason.
And Pete.
And we were, over the break, we were talking about competing currencies. And every so often, a technology is created that upends the foundations of society. The wheel, the printing press, the internet. Now, amidst the world sliding into financial chaos, a new technology is emerging to change the way monetary systems work around the world. It's called Bitcoin. Bitcoin is a private, free market monetary system. It is a currency, a new form of money. It is not the liability of any bank, nor issued by any government, nor tracked by any corporation. We encourage you to learn more about it, for there is much more to learn. A good starting place is weusecoins.com. That's weusecoins.com. And recently, last hour we focused on the Occupy movement here in New Hampshire and abroad. And now I kind of like to focus things more locally. Something recently occurred in Keene. Last night there was a city council meeting to determine whose city is this. And we never did find out whose it is, but Jason, you have a lovely pamphlet there that I believe you'd like to talk about.
Yeah, they handed these out at the door. I guess it's probably about 30, 40 pages. And Luther said, the title is Whose City Is This? And it has this picture of the pavilion that's located in the Commons in Keene, the Central Square.
Yes, it's a very iconic image that most people in the area are familiar with.
Somebody drew it. And this report has a foreword by the city manager. It has all these different reports from all these departments, Park and Recreation, the law enforcement in Keene, and then they have a bunch of articles from the Keene Sentinel about what's going on in Central Square. But the cover grabbed my attention because it has all these little thought bubbles around this this pavilion. And they say, Keene faces change, respect for one another, social contract, cultural evolution, objectionable behavior, rights and responsibilities, respect for social norms, code of conduct, community conversation, transitional, all about you, social change, coexistence, what do we want? And so these are like in little thought bubble clouds around the pavilion.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, it's just the government that has this report.
And the local media.
Cites mainstream media.
Right.
And they limited conversation to how many minutes per person?
3 minutes per person.
Some people advocated for liberty, including yourself. What were some of the things that were said?
Sure. Well, Ian got up and talked about... he talked about some of the causes and how the root cause is not being addressed and that it's really the war on drugs. A young man was stabbed to death, unfortunately, in the common, and it kind of became a catalyst where more people were hanging out there more often and just, hanging out, grieving, smoking pot maybe drinking alcohol, or doing whatever. And some citizens claimed that it was causing disturbance, that they were being loud, that they were being rude and swearing. And that actually got brought up a lot, the fact that they were swearing, which seems kind of silly to me. I mean, they're just words. I guess if you don't want to hear it, that's one thing. You should just turn a blind ear, but...
Yeah, I mean, obnoxious behavior, can be bothersome. And I can understand that, some people don't like that. But I don't think taking these problems to the government is going to solve any of these problems, because the city is just going to have their cops show up more and they'll use their pepper spray and their other weapons. We've seen it done before. Me and some of my friends have been getting more and more involved in Central Square. We started hosting Free Speech Friday, which is a way for the community to get together after Friday at 4 p.m. and discuss, concerns or, goals for the community, or if they have any grievances they'd like to have redressed, or whatever. People have sang a song. But the first couple times got off to a rough start. People would pick up the microphone, and one guy in particular would just drop the F-bomb and do it as loud as he could. And I mean, I don't care for that type of behavior myself, but it, you know, like you said, it didn't harm anybody. But then as we started having more of these, you know, he would say more. And then the last one, he recited a Bible verse, which I thought was a nice progress.
Oh, wow.
And I think because, you know,
some would say lack of progress.
Well, that is true. I'm not advocating for a Bible verse, but it was a bit
right.
more civil.
The tone. I hear you.
Yeah.
I hear you.
You know, that's what is happening when you make connections with people and you don't, like, avoid people by going into this government building and say, do something about that problem
definitely,
out there.
Right, definitely.
You got to meet people.
Yeah, I tried to point that out, that if people wanted it to be a more family-friendly environment, that they should start promoting family-friendly activities, and then families will show up.
Yeah.
And I kind of wasn't taken too seriously. Actually, I had many other points I wanted to make, but The chairman, her name is Pamela Slack, and she's a particularly nasty woman, in my opinion, was very, you know, kind of condescending to me, interrupting, you know, wouldn't make me make the points I wanted to make to counter stuff that other people were saying. You know, she let them talk on the subject, but she wouldn't let me on the basis that it was off topic, even though I was discussing the same thing. I thought that was kind of strange.
Right.
I guess I'm just not part of the club. So.
But you were looking sharp. You looked like you belonged in the club with your suit and tie.
That's true. I guess my Converse sneakers kind of gave me away, though.
Right.
Comfortable, though. But, yeah, I mean, go back to this report Jason brought up. I mean, I just happened to see it today. Jason showed me, and on the inside, the forward, the sentence that stood out to me, you know, it talks about all the reports presented from different city agencies, and it says, together they form an important and insightful commentary on the challenges faced by the city. From it, you will see that the city has a good idea of what needs to be done. So I only had time to scan a couple of the reports that are mentioned, and they both essentially conclude that, you know, we need to grow in this area. Let's figure out, you know, our scope of power, and let's figure out how it can be financed, or, you know, something like that. So
right. One of the suggestions that was brought up and seemed to be fairly popular and feasible in the city's eyes is that they want to create a police substation downtown, specifically for patrolling the downtown area and keeping it clean of riffraff and ruffians.
And there's also talk, speaking of growing their power and authority, that they would make it a park as opposed to a common space, and that would mean that they could give it hours. So, like, they could close the park at 10 p.m.
Right.
in the evening.
But from what I gathered, it doesn't seem like they're going to try to implement any kind of curfew on it, which I think is great. I mean, I'm a night owl myself. I love to be out late, and that's one place I can go usually and kind of hang out.
Right, but we shouldn't be satisfied by the fact that they're not going to do this. We should say, why do you think you have authority to do this anyway? And if these are actually issues, then sell the property and let the property owner decide how it's used or not used.
Right. I would respect that even more, you know, than just a common area, I feel. And it could still be a common area. It would just be, you know, maintained and managed, and the rules would be set by a private organization.
Right. On one of the speech bubbles Jason just read said questionable or objectionable behavior. And who defines what's objectionable? Once you give a certain group of people the gun and say you have the right to make whatever arbitrary rules you want, then they're only... and their incentive is to grow, and that's what we see from this report. And to allow someone to say some behavior that's objectionable, you know, like it may not have a victim. It may be, like Jason said, a guy who swore when he first got up and spoke. And
yeah.
Sure, that I may find that objectionable, but I don't want to see that person put in a cage. I wouldn't pay for that, but that's what we get with the state.
Right. Yeah. And another these bubbles is a respect for social norms. So, I mean, social norms have changed throughout time, thank goodness. It was once a social norm to have slaves and the state to force people to return slaves back to the plantation.
Right.
Or
a social norm to, after slaves were expelled here in, or just down south of us in Massachusetts, it was a social norm to whip a black man in public if he tried to set up residence in Massachusetts.
Right.
And that's not right either. And there are other, like, even smaller stuff when it comes to social norms. It's a social norm to practice Christmas. But I don't like to practice Christmas. I think it's kind of a silly holiday.
Right.
One of the other things that they're trying to do in Central Square is noise restrictions. So the noisy city, with all their sirens, is trying to crack down on other noise that takes place in Central Square. I think that has a good chance of getting passed.
Government hypocrisy abounds here in Keene. 855-450-3733. This is Free Talk Live. We got more coming up.
And now it's time for the Leadership Radio Minute with tips and advice on how to maximize your own leadership potential. Here's international leadership expert and New York Times best-selling author, John C. Maxwell.
Can you name one organization that gets the least from its people yet is the best at what it does? Of course not. Why? Because it's impossible for any group of people to be successful when they aren't giving their best. When you give people your best by investing in them, they learn to become their best, and they give their best. Success demands that we give our best. That may be more than most people are willing to offer, but it's not more than they are able to offer. Good leadership often makes the difference. As a leader, if you give your best to help others give their best, your organization will always be at its best. For the Leadership Radio Minute, I'm John C. Maxwell.
For more information on how to maximize your own leadership potential, please visit johnmaxwell.com. True leadership isn't a matter of having a certain job or title. In fact, being chosen for a position is only the first of the five levels every effective leader achieves. In his new book, The Five Levels of Leadership, leadership expert and New York Times best-selling author John C. Maxwell helps you to become more than the boss people follow only because they're required to. He gives advice on how to grow further, achieve results, and build a team that produces. The Five Levels of Leadership, the newest book from John C. Maxwell, is available wherever books are sold.
This Your Family Today tip is brought to you by Nestle Tollhouse Morsels, helping you create special moments and memories your family will cherish forever. Visit us at tollhouse.com. You may bake for birthdays and holidays, but why stop there? Sweeten up the rest of the year by designating monthly dessert days. Treat your family to one of their favorites or surprise them with something new. Either way, you'll create a tradition everyone will love. For more tips like these, visit us at parenthood.com/yourfamilytoday.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Positive results from satisfied customers of Heart and Body Extract continue to pour into our website, hbextract.com.
This is Al from New Jersey. One day I saw your ad for Heart and Body Extract, and it mentioned that it would help me with angina, so I decided to order. I figure I had nothing to lose.
Heart and Body Extract supplies your body with everything it needs to balance itself and maintain optimal heart and circulatory health with no negative side effects.
I took the formula 3 times a day as directed, and I kid you not, within 4 days, my angina pain was completely gone.
Order HB Extract by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
I could not believe it actually stopped the pain. Heart and Body Extract actually works. This is just an amazing product. Even the numbness in my hands is completely gone.
Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
Now, more Free Talk Live. Dial in at 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
Welcome back to Free Talk Live. 855-450-3733. This is Luther,
Jason,
and Pete.
And we've been talking about whose city this is here in Keene, New Hampshire. There was a city hall meeting to discuss that over the recent... there have been incidents in the Common and the Skate Park and Railroad Square, I guess, and it also they were kind of addressing the Occupy Keene folks. So I went down to the meeting last night, and there was some constructive ideas and some not so constructive. And we're just talking about this pamphlet they handed out. It's simply titled, Whose City Is This? And they never did answer that last night. But it seems to suggest sort of a collectivism about it, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you have all these little thought bubbles that are supposed to represent what they think are different factions, I guess. They use cultural evolution, and maybe that's a nod to a Free Keen who uses
the term evolution.
Peaceful evolution in, you know, for the slogan.
Sure.
But, I didn't care for it. It just seemed kind of creepy to me. I'd like to know who wrote this.
Who drew that up.
Yeah.
And so what's inside now? It's reports from different departments, right? And then some letters from the Sentinel?
Yeah, each department was commanded to write up a summary, including how much money the downtown has cost them, the Central Square. And so there's Parks and Recreation has information about, do they call it graffiti removal or chalk removal or something? And the police department for having to respond to calls.
Chalking.
Yeah. Well, actually, the police in Keene aren't so bad with chalking.
No.
I didn't think they would be because I saw, or I was with some officers when they were complimenting somebody for his 9/11 chalk. And this was probably a month before the Chalk the Police event came up, so I knew that they wouldn't hassle. And if they would.
Right, right. And they haven't in the past. So there was an uproar, I remember, back when Ian was arrested for the city council drinking game, where he brought an empty beer bottle with a new sticker on it that said, not a beer, it was full of water.
Right.
And there was a drinking game. Ian was one of the people arrested, and so there was a chalking event that night at the square.
Okay.
People saying stuff like, a man is in jail for drinking a glass of water. What's wrong here? You know, mm-hmm. stuff like that. But they also drew on the war monument that's down there. It's mm-hmm. a statue of a Civil War soldier to honor the fallen Union members in that terrible struggle. And people were outraged about this, that they would defile, you know, that religious artifact, as it were.
I'm kind of outraged that the city would honor war. And, you know, if somebody's writing a peaceful expression on that statue, I would identify more with that statement than a statue to war. They have cannons and cannonballs in the park also that I don't like.
Sure, sure. I agree. And like you say, I don't like honoring war like that either, you know, even if it was for the cause of ending another evil, you know, it was just a terrible evil in and of itself that displaced a lot of people, that, you know, killed a lot of people on both sides, you know, that crushed economies and just a terrible...
Again, it comes down to public and private, and right now if it's public, I mean, we let other folks set the terms and they're set ambiguously, and they define them, and they're constantly changing, never on the record about stuff. I mean, I would just assume have it be, you know, if they really want to make that space attractive, then sell it and let somebody buy it, and you know, wherever the market demand is. I don't think most people would pay to go to a place where that's unkept or where they'd feel intimidated. I think people would prefer to go to an area that is where they can enjoy some leisure time mm-hmm. or some other activities in a peaceful place. And, you know, maybe a private property owner would have an incentive then to have some sort of security or at least an ashtray. They don't even have that at the square. And how many, you know, it's
right.
the busiest area of town, and they don't even yet they have these devices outside of all the other government buildings, you know, for their employees. They just... I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me. So I think if it were privatized, the proper incentives would be there. Yeah.
They put one up, an ashtray, but it was so flimsy that it didn't survive just a couple of days. But I really don't like how the city of Keene is managing that property. I know, during the 9/11 tribute, the fire department put American flags all the way around Central Square. But it was maybe 2 months prior, a friend of ours, Hunter and Bo, they organized a jury nullification rally, and they had hand-painted signs that told people about their rights to nullify bad laws. And, of course, a code enforcement officer came out and harassed them. Thankfully, they kept the signs up. But it just shows, you know, they're arbitrary. They'll bend their own rules for these symbols of the state. But, you know, if you want to get the word out yourself, then they'll crack down on you.
Yeah, I agree. Let's go to the phones. This is, of course, the show where you take control. Let's go to Richard in Ontario. Richard?
Hello.
Hello. What's on your mind tonight?
What's up, Richard?
Yeah. Well, I've been listening to your show for probably about a month now. And first of all, I'm a government employee, so I can expect some hatred right now.
We don't hate you.
Yeah, we don't hate you at all.
Yeah. Oh, good. Thanks. So anyway, I work for the Vital Statistics Office here in Ontario.
Mm-hmm.
And we get a lot of letters in the mail from people, and they say things like, you know, they want to deregister their birth. Because they think by having a birth certificate associated with them, it's like a fiat token that isn't actually their, like, representative of their, like, their natural person.
Right.
Right.
And, yeah, I was just wondering what you guys think of that, if you guys have heard of this before.
I mean, to me, the first thing I thought about was the Sovereign Movement, and, you know, while I agree with the ends of people associated with that movement, I don't necessarily agree with the tactics, which is essentially to try to find paperwork loopholes in documents another group of strangers has created that supposedly they claim have authority over you. So, you know, this folks acting in the Sovereign Movement may do things like what you've experienced, send in letters to certain agencies and say, you know, I recant this number or withdraw this from your books. But at the end of the day, the way I look at it, you know, that's only further granting that institution authority. And if they were to actually successfully find a hole, let's just say theoretically, that
which
are no longer under your auspices, then your organization, your agency, would only have an incentive to plug that hole and fix it, and then to say, no, you're still kept under our thumb. So that's why I don't think, like, looking for a technicality way out of being a slave is the most productive use of time.
Yeah, it's like
a lot of the time. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, like, with taxation, some people will be like, this amendment wasn't ratified, so there is no taxation. Where I would say the government doesn't have a right to tax me to begin with. Mm-hmm. So, but what do you think about that?
Well, it's just that there's two different types of people who would, because what I would do is I would actually get, I would take the letters that were written to the Registrar General, like the main boss person there who signs every single birth certificate.
Mm-hmm.
And there was basically two different types of letters that I would see. The first one would be from those who are religious, and they feel that they are a man of God, and men can create these tokens based on these children of God, because as children, they're not able to consent to something like this. And the second one is that people would send in letters basically just trying to get away from their debts and other obligations that they have. And they say, like, I'm a natural person. I relinquish all, you know, all these things attached to me, such as my bank account, my mortgage, my truck loan, driver's licenses and stuff like that.
Interesting stuff, Rich.
I thought they were kind of crazy, but, you know, after listening to people about the
libertarian... You're going to have to wrap it up, Richard. We're going to break.
Okay.
Can we hold him over?
Yeah, we'll hold him over. Stay with us, Richard. 855-450-3733.
Plant a healthy garden easy and fast with Organicaseed.com. Easy because Organicaseed.com offers one of the largest online selections of organic, heirloom, non-hybrid, and untreated seeds, as well as tobacco and cotton seeds at low prices. Go to Organicaseed.com, spelled Organicaseed.com. Organicaseed.com. Remember, Organicaseed is healthy seed.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
That's the sound of your door being kicked in by an intruder with a single kick. That's the sound of the same door now protected by the Door Sentinel at MySafeDoor.com. Go to MySafeDoor.com right now and watch the amazing video. At MySafeDoor.com, you'll learn how to turn your home into a fortress with the Door Sentinel. 16 kicks later, and the Door Sentinel is still holding strong. MySafeDoor.com. That's MySafeDoor.com.
We want to know, how do you use WebEx?
I use WebEx anytime I need to meet with clients. With the new WebEx high-quality video, it's like meeting face-to-face.
Connect online and share what's on your computer screen with others. Anytime, anywhere. On their desktop, on their laptop, or mobile device. How do you use WebEx? Go to WebEx.com right now and try WebEx free. WebEx from Cisco. WebEx.com.
If you constantly feel run down and tired, your pH level might be low and your body could be full of toxins. If what you drink is not at a pH level of 8 or higher, you are inviting bacteria and acid to thrive in your body. But there is something you can do. Simply add 10 drops of AlkaVision plasma pH drops to your water to help your body rid itself of acidic waste, increase oxygen, and raise your pH balance to optimum levels. AlkaVision plasma pH drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals in the world, alkalizing the water you drink, ridding your body of acidic waste and toxins, and helping you regain energy and vibrant health. And studies show viruses, bacteria, and toxins cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision plasma pH drops at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
Do you live where ice storms, blizzards, tornadoes, floods, earthquakes, or hurricanes occur? Who doesn't? Well, most of us do, and when they occur, one of the first things to happen is the power goes out. When Hurricane Irene hit, over 5 million homes were without power. Just having light around the house becomes very important. Arm yourself with the new 50-hour emergency candle in a can. Just pull the pop-top lid. The matches are safe inside and light up the candle for 50 hours of continuous light. The candle and matches are together when you need them the most. Emergency light that has an indefinite shelf life, always ready and won't go dead like batteries. 50-hour emergency candles are $7.95 each or four for $28. Call toll-free 1-855-485-8555, 855-485-8555, or order online at candlesincans.com. One more time, that's 855-485-8555, or visit us at candlesincans.com.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in now, 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
This is Free Talk Live. 855-450-3733. That's the SACL CAI toll-free number, 855-450-3733. Now, who is SACL CAI, might you say? Well, do you have a company that needs to try something new in the area of collections? SACL CAI does collections, early out billing, and they purchase charged off receivables. SACL's employees are trained to in resolving issues for your customers and treating them with respect. They know that not only do you want to collect your money, but you want to collect you want to keep those clients too. SACL CAI, check out their banner at freetalklive.com. And that's run by our friend Jason Osborne, a friend of the show and a major supporter of Liberty and just an all-around great guy. So thank you, Jason. And this is Luther with you.
Jason.
And Pete.
The other Jason, that is. And we have Rich, I hope, still on the air. Rich, are you still with us?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, great. So you, in the last segment, you brought up that you work for what department is it again in Ontario?
It's the, well, we're the Registrar General's Office. We register all the births, deaths, marriages, and changes of name that people do in the province.
Right, right. And some folks have come in trying to seek ways to basically undo their birth certificate. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah, well, like I was saying, I used to be the assistant to the Registrar General, the lady herself, and people would write in letters and send back their birth certificates and shred it in pieces saying, you know, delete my original birth registration off of your system because, and they'd also send in bills, like I was saying, like unpaid bills, like even their toll bridge charges that would be sent to the driver's license or the license plate associated to that name, you know, would be tracked down to that person. They get a bill in the mail. And they felt that the Registrar General, since that person signed their birth certificate, which they produced when they got a driver's license.
Uh-huh. Are you there?
Well, for those loans.
Well, well Rich, I'm interested to hear, what would you say? Do you agree in principle with the aims these individuals are trying to achieve, or do you think it's just kind of...
No, I think it's kind of hooey, really. Mm-hmm. I think that they're just trying to get out of their obligations.
What about the aims that the government is trying to achieve by having human beings register with them? What do you think about
that? Well, that's the thing, too, is... because I was in charge of writing letters in response to these people, one of the things that we would always specify is that the government doesn't necessarily register a person or a death. We register the event that it happened, the event of the birth. So whether you chose to present your birth certificate when you started these things, like your lines of credit and all these charges that are against you, all these debts, that's kind of your problem, not ours.
Well, it sounds like the bills they were sending you in were tolls and license registration, all that stuff, which is all a government bill.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Well,
were there any like, private debts that they were trying to settle?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, there was lots of private debts. Private debts to, like I said, private companies that own bridges and banks and credit unions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for lines of credit, loans, mortgages.
Right,
and
but
like I said, because, yeah.
Richard, I guess the way I would come at it is that once there's an organization, a group of people who say we mandate that if you're born in this certain area, we need to be known about it, and there's usually fees associated with it, and then oftentimes numbers are ascribed to those individuals, which are then mandated that they be provided when getting employment. So they're just identification number systems to enable one group of people to track and tax another group of people. That's why I think. What may motivate some of these individuals, at least myself.
But if you have the idea that the government is treating people like we're essentially slaves, as most people have mentioned, would you agree that the person who has their signature, this mark on this certificate that this person used to acquire these debts, this person is an agent of the government, would they be responsible for these debts that were incurred by that person if that's what they used to incur these debts?
Well, I think you should be responsible for your debts, but
absolutely. I agree.
Yeah. I think that there are alternatives to the government being the only source of making these notations, of marking these events, as you said, for births and deaths and stuff.
And that leads to my follow-up question, which was, and before you guys let me go, thanks very much for taking my call, and I love your show. And my last question is, in a liberty-oriented society, would we even bother registering births and deaths and changes of name and marriages and stuff like that? And thanks again for taking my call.
Oh, thanks for calling in and keep listening. I guess my answer to that would be you might still want to keep track of somebody's debt just in case somebody tries to fake their death. I don't know if birth would be so important. I mean, it wouldn't, and not at least not until you started having business transactions with other people.
What about passports? Because you need a birth certificate to get a passport to prove your citizenship.
Well, why do we need passports? I mean, that's, again, just a restriction on the free movement of individuals. It should come down to property rights. It shouldn't be a random group of people saying who can and can't come on your property, who you can and can't hire for your company you own.
Right. Yeah, I agree. I totally agree, too.
Hey, Rich, before you go, I just want to mention, I don't know if you've heard of the Institute for Liberal Studies, but it's a group of folks up there in Ontario, and every year they have a conference out in Orono. It's worth checking out.
What city is it in?
It's in Orono.
Ontario, yeah.
Ontario. Okay. Yep. I'll have to look it up. We're in Thunder Bay. We're actually the largest city in Ontario, furthest away from our provincial capital. So, you know, I'm actually a political science student right now. And tonight I had a great debate with my dad about succession away from such a big conglomerate. So,
yeah,
I have aspirations.
Love
you guys
to hear that.
Great cheerleaders and helpers with that.
Right on. All the way down to the individual, man.
Absolutely.
All right.
Appreciate
it. Thanks for your call tonight, Richard.
But if I could jump in, I just wanted to say that people volunteer their information all the time on Facebook, and now Facebook is going to come up with this service called a timeline where you can backfill your life and have these big photos and videos up to like your a photo of your just being born and then your children being born. You can share all this information that you want, and people jump to it. And then with Google Plus, which is a Facebook competitor, Google wants you. They want to know your identity, and they're not letting, like, anonymous people on. And, like, Twitter has a verified service, so they can verify that you are who you say you are. So there's plenty of free market alternatives, not to mention like, credit ratings. I mean, they certainly have to know who you are and who they're dealing with.
Sure. And I think a company could be in that. Could, if it was opened up to the market, a company could step up and say, you know, I'll verify that this is this person because they're registered with us, you know, and they've been registered since birth or since they were 5 years old, whatever.
Right.
And they are who they say they are.
Yeah, reputation, again, is key. Most exchanges wouldn't matter. I wouldn't say if I'm selling hamburgers, mandate that I know when you're born and things like that. But if we're doing a big deal or, you know, there's something going on, I may seek a form of identification from an outfit that has a good reputation, but again, it would all be voluntary.
Right. So 855-450-3733, that's a toll-free number, SACL-CAI toll-free number. Let's go to Drew in Arizona. Drew?
Hey, guys. How you doing tonight?
Good, good. What's on your mind?
Hey, what up, Drew?
Well, hey, I just thought I heard you mention you were asking about some of the Occupy movements around the country, and I thought I'd share my perspective on what's going on in Arizona.
All right. And, go right ahead.
Well, you know, it didn't really start here till the 15th when they had kind of the big national day of action. And on that day in particular, there were over 1,000 people downtown Phoenix near City Hall. Mm-hmm. And it was a really wide, diverse group. A lot of people from the right or Tea Party, libertarians came to try to, influence the debate to the ideas of liberty. But then, after that initial weekend, it kind of died down, and there's only maybe a small group that's kind of trying to continue this occupation. And I wanted to be optimistic, and I wanted to encourage, and I wanted to see it go and build into something big, but I have to be kind of critical of it now, because all I see on their live stream is really a disorganized group that doesn't even really know why they're there anymore, or they don't even know what they want, or even if they didn't know what they want, or they have some of them, I won't group them all together and say that they're a group, but in that sense, they don't even know how to get what they want, or if they did have a list of demands, they wouldn't know how to go about getting it. And some of the criticisms I have are, I see on their Twitter a lot, they say, well, we need, come down and we need stuff like pizza and cigarettes and, little toothpicks, those flossing toothpicks. And I just think, wow, those are some really, sad things to ask for, And then I saw later that they were, saying we need water and ice right away. There's no water and ice down here. It's obviously hot in Arizona.
Right.
And I thought, well, gee, why were you asking for cigarettes last week if now all of a sudden you need the basics? And I don't want to criticize them too hard, but it really, at least in Arizona, it really petered out, and you just have kind of, one thing I noticed was...
All right. Drew, we got to go to break, but I'll tell you what, we'll keep you over and we'll bring you back.
What?
So 855-450-3733, this is free.
Did you know nuclear radiation is still spewing out of the melted down reactors in Fukushima, Japan, and making its way across the entire U.S. continent, contaminating the air, water, and food? Dangerously high levels of radiation are a reality here. As a result, radiation poisoning is a distinct possibility for anyone living in the U.S., unless you do something to protect yourself. How? With liquid zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Without a doubt, liquid zeolite is by far the best product to remove radiation from your body. It safely removes toxins and heavy metals, boosts energy levels, and promotes a strong immune system. Liquid zeolite is so powerful it was used to clean up contamination in Chernobyl, yet so gentle you won't even know you're taking it. Liquid zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee, but is only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of liquid zeolite by calling 800-880-9976. That's 800-880-9976. Or go to RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com.
Are you tired of spending money for metal canning lids year after year? Then stop! Stop buying metal lids and get Tatler reusable canning lids. Made of USDA and FDA approved food grade plastic, Tatler canning lids let you safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single use throwaways that contain BPA, but Tatler canning lids are indefinitely reusable and guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning and contain no BPA. Tatler lids are dishwasher safe, perfect for standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders by phone at 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's 1-877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com. Tatler Reusable Canning Lids, the original since 1976.
Local Army Navy surplus stores are hard to find these days, but not military issue supplies. They're right here online at mainmilitary.com. That's right, just like the state, M-A-I-N-E, military.com. We have everything for true, total preparedness. MaineMilitary.com is not a typical website. It has much more than your old surplus store. Quality military-issue survival gear like canteens, mess kits, utensils, gas masks, filters, and chemical suits, magnesium fire-starting tools, strike-anywhere, waterproof, and storm matches, first aid kits, splints, tourniquets, parachute 550 cord, military firing manuals, sandbags by the bale, and a huge Molly assortment of vests and pouches for every need. Call 207-989-6783, 207-989-6783, or visit MaineMilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E, military.com, the Maine name in military supply.
Big Berkey water filters are in high demand. Storable foods are also in high demand. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has always kept our focus on the Berkey water filter products, but increasingly, our customers have been asking for storable foods. After months of research, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com now offers great-tasting, long-lasting, storable foods. These ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches. All you do is just add water, and because they're sealed so well, they come with a 25-year shelf life. Combine our Berkey water filters, which are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water with our storable foods, and you have a winning combination. Remember, we offer free shipping on every order over $50, and GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY today.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
Live 855-450-3733. That's 855-450-FREE. That's the toll-free number. You can call in, talking about anything you want. This is Luther,
Jason,
and Pete.
And we have Drew on the line from Arizona. Drew, are you still with us?
Sure am.
All right, great. Sorry to have cut you off in the last segment, but you were discussing how Occupy Phoenix has kind of died down a little bit.
Yeah, I just I think there was a lot of good intentions in the beginning, and obviously there's plenty of reasons for people to be upset these days and, you know, things to protest over. But, you know, now I just think the momentum has petered out, and now you have, you know, maybe well-meaning people, but left that, you know, just aren't experienced at what they're doing. And I just think it's unfortunate that they're giving the whole movement. Obviously they don't. I mean, at the end of the day, they're all individuals, but I just think they're kind of making this look like more of a joke than it really is. I mean, this is dead serious stuff, and obviously what was happening in Oakland and some of these other cities is, you know, important to understand. But at least here, I just think it's kind of withered away. You know, one thing I saw when I went back down there was a homeless man who was more than happy to hold up a union job sign because he was getting free bananas and such from the food area there where they had some donated food items. And I just thought the irony of a homeless man holding up a pro-union sign was just, you know, lost on me.
Sure.
Unions will sometimes hire people for lower than union wages, maybe Mexicans or people that they can find in lots, Home Depot parking lots or things like that, and not abide by union standards. So that's always amusing when they provide work like that.
Oh, sure. You know, and, you know, like I said, this guy was more than happy to, he didn't maybe, you know, agree with all of this stuff that's going on. He just grabbed a sign that was sitting there. He didn't even look at what the sign was or what it represented. And he just thought he'd be helpful. And that way they wouldn't be mad when he came over and took some free food. I'm not against him having a free meal, but, you know, so anyway, it's just, at least locally here, it didn't go the way I had hoped, and I was much more optimistic for it overall.
Well, Drew, what were some, like, lessons maybe you took away? Like, what could be done different? Or, like, if some folks are listening from the Phoenix area, they want to, implement change, how would you encourage them to do so down there?
Well, the thing that struck me, especially Saturday night when I was there, you know, 2 weekends ago, almost instantly they were having these general assembly meetings, and, you know, they do this mic check thing, the human microphone, which is to me is like collectivism at the core. Like, you're just going to blindly repeat whatever they say.
Yeah, that was kind of a really creepy aspect of it from my perspective, just being a YouTube watcher.
It really was kind of creepy. And,
You know, and so, but on that, like, almost instantly there was this parliamentarian effort going on where it was like Robert's rules was somehow implemented, and they were, you know, like people were saying, I have a friendly amendment, and they were using these kind of, you know, government, you know, terms and stuff. And I'm like, where, you know, where are they getting this from? And someone said, oh, well, on the main Occupy website or one of them, you know, they have this kind of guideline of how to run a general assembly. And it's like they've implanted this idea that you need structure and government from the get-go, you know, into this movement. So when, you know, when they threatened to arrest people Saturday night, and they did here, they arrested some 46 people that wanted to stay in the park past 11 o'clock.
Yeah, that picture was powerful, man. That was crazy.
Yeah, so but you had like city council members jumping onto it and saying, well, you know, the mayor said, well, I'll go down there and get arrested with you. And the city council people saying, well, we're negotiating with the city manager and it's all his fault, which was all just PR. You know, the mayor was never coming down to get arrested. The city council was just posturing and saying, we support you. And at the end of the day, a lot of the Occupy people were thinking, oh, well, okay, the city council supports us. You know, we should support them. And certainly it was just politicians looking for re-election support and looking to build their base and jumping on, you know, Arizona's fairly Republican, so you have these Democrats who will jump on any movement for any reason just to get some support behind them, and that's what they were doing on Saturday night. And so it's frustrating to see politicians give lip service like they always do, but for people to just kind of follow it, and like I said, I think with the whatever the national website is that's putting out this information on how to run a general assembly, I think it's stunting their ability to grow, you know, right out of the gate.
Right.
You know, they just let it happen more organically.
It'd be nice maybe to solicit ideas from like a multitude of places and let, you know, just have a number of available options available so folks can get exposed to some things that might work and see and maybe make a hybrid, but and just, you know, try to share ideas, maybe be a medium to facilitate the sharing of ideas rather than only putting one like top down like you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, I want to be supportive, but if it's not something that I, you know, I want to get involved in, then I'm not going to. But it's a, you know, but I can't force them obviously to think the way I do. So, you know, I guess I just let it happen. But it did, you know, it did lend itself on Saturday for, you know, a lot of people to bring, you know, alternative messages of liberty, and certainly the End the Fed, the message was out in full force, and you know, people were trying to say, you know, it's not the banks necessarily, it's deeper than that. You know, I was just going to say that $5 ATM fee at Chase or whatever bank it was, I just thought that was the most ridiculous story in the world. You know, people are calling for government to tell the bank they can't charge $5. If you don't want the bank to charge you $5 a month to use your debit card, go find another bank. It's that simple.
Right.
And, oh, sure. My bank doesn't charge that.
Yeah, so I just thought that was ridiculous. And, it was like on the news the night before that Obama had gotten involved in this or something. And it was so immediate that they just repeated that yes, government needs to force, you know, Chase to not charge that. And I was shocked at how quickly it became this status thing and how this is a demand of government to be better and to reform itself. And I just didn't think it would so quickly go that way.
Sure. Well, there's been some of that across the board, I think, in many of the Occupy movements. You know, I remember one of Adam Kokesh's videos, there was a young man who basically told him, well, yeah, it'd be nice if everybody could get along voluntarily, but people don't agree with me, so I have to force them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when I was in Washington, D.C., I did an interview with the co-founder of Code Pink. And they're a peace organization, but I wanted to talk to her about all the wars that are taking place within communities, the war on drugs and other peaceful people. And she basically said that if she has the numbers with her group, then she can force people to pay for health care or whatever she wants. And she at least admitted that, but they're not opposed to using the power of government to get what they want.
You know, that's why I'm real... a strong advocate of just striking the root instead of just focusing on these single issues and saying, hey, as long as we get the majority, then we could point the barrel of the gun at everybody else and impose our ideas on them and steal money from them. And, you know, we had a video contest through Cop Lock and Strike the Root, Freedom's Phoenix and Liberty on Tour also got behind it and asked folks, hey, chop up a video that communicates these ideas, you know, to folks on the ground with Occupy. Because like has been said, there's folks there that are upset. And I think, as I think Drew Riley touched on, one of the main points of concern is, you know, well, then what's the next step? My question out there is, how do we get here? How do we prevent it from happening? You know, it's not to continue to look into leaders in the political system as, as has been touched on, but it's to look, you know, for self-government, for individual responsibility, regardless of place of employment.
Yep, there was a meme going around at the occupations where you just get a piece of cardboard and you write a sign on it, and I wanted to participate, so mine said, mine read, in the federal government, because they're the ones that create these legal fictions that are corporations that people are railing against, so if you want to get rid of one, get rid of the other.
Yep, but I bring up that video because Drew made the winning entry, so congrats on that again.
Oh, nice. $400?
Yep.
Well, thanks, but I guess I was the only one who made one, so I won by default.
Yeah.
So I told you, I was actually sad because I really thought it was a neat concept to do that.
And the goal was
to get multiple entries, regardless of who won. You would then have, you know, 20 videos that express this idea, and only got one. But I was happy to pocket the $400. So
I bet, man. I know it's going to go to a good use, and you know, I had heard from a lot of video creators that they were going to submit something, but obviously you got to change it up next time to make it a little more fruitful.
I think the deadline was the night that I returned from New York, and I had to import all that video, and
right.
I couldn't make the midnight deadline.
And I set the bar low, Jason. You easily could have taken that.
That's my $400.
Well, I did it in about a 24-hour turnaround period as well. I shot it Saturday, and it was up Sunday night, so I was under a deadline too. But anyway, I thought that was a great idea, Pete. And again, I hope you do something similar in the future, and maybe I can help, you know, promote that.
Right on, dude. Thanks.
Anyway, if I could just one last thing. Yesterday, I heard on the show one of the co-hosts was talking about, you know, the new droid cell phones and GPS and technology as a double-edged sword, and how, you know, the government's tracking us and kind of the paranoia associated with that. I've actually kind of flipped my position on a lot of this thinking, where I might as well embrace the technology and use it to my advantage. And one thing I wanted to point out is this new, you know, Google Maps app called Latitude, where you can kind of track your friends around the country. And it actually was really useful this past weekend when we traveled to San Diego and traveled through like 5 internal checkpoints on our way.
We're coming up right here. We got to go, Drew, but thanks for your call tonight. 603 or 855-450-3733. This is Free Talk Live.
The Ruger LC9, compact, powerful, and perfect for personal protection. The LC9 is only slightly larger than the popular Ruger LCP, features a checkered grip frame to provide a secure and comfortable grip, and includes a finger grip extension floor plate. The LC9 also has a dovetailed high-visibility 3-dot sight system, blued alloy steel barrel, manual safety, and loaded chamber indicator. The LC9, another innovative American-made product from Ruger. Learn more about the Ruger LC9 at Ruger.com/LC9.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. Are you looking for a concealed carry holster? Crossbreed Holsters is the home of the world-famous Super Tuck, the most comfortable concealed carry holster on the market today. Try one out and see how truly discreet and comfortable carrying concealed can be. And find out why we call it the ugliest holster you'll ever love. We are the standard others try to imitate.
Get the original. Get your Super Tuck at crossbreedholsters.com. Again, that's crossbreedholsters.com.